7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on each and every issue as we face the issues. Some of you have said, I'd just like to put in my 2 cents worth. Well, today is that opportunity. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of internet, that is 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're speaking today on a very, very serious broad brush issue, the signs of the times. We're watching the signs of the times. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that perilous times shall come in the last days. Perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, devastating. And we're watching those things take place today. Just give you a little insight as to where we're going. We're going to have a brief monologue. We're going to talk about the bank failures and what is taking place there. Then we'll be introducing and interviewing a very special guest today as we talk about what I would simply call the answer and the potential solution to the problems that we're talking about in our nation today. How should we get involved? What should we do? How should Christian conservatives and patriots respond to what we see taking place politically, economically, militarily, etc.? We're watching the trajectory of the three major events, the financial famine, the fuel famine, and the food famine taking place simultaneously, and we're watching that deepen as the days go by. We'll talk about in just a moment one of the major failings of the banks, the banking industry, and what's taking place with that as we watch the Biden administration socializing the banking industry. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the essence of the issues today, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, he said these words, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus himself said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And further in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus made a de facto statement when he said, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible is very, very clear. It's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. And so may I recommend that to you. In today's society, we follow what the secularist George Orwell said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. By the way, that book, 1984, was published back in about 1947, 48, and 49. And entitled 1984, pointing to what Orwell saw as the future of America in 1984. Many of the things that he said have come to pass, but it was not right on the time of his schedule. But one of the things that I state so often that George Orwell said, he said, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, we see that taking place today. If you don't believe that, watch Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the others and how they want to have disparaging remarks about anything that's called truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a very powerful statement about truth. He said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator DeMint, said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume that whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America, even in our churches." Think on that for a moment. There's the mindset that we do not have to adhere to what is the basics of truth. We can have our own truth. In fact, the latest research shows that the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, this is the position of the millennials. And I quote from the latest research on that subject. That age group says, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth," end quote. That's the problem that we're faced with in society today. There's not a static understanding of the truth of the Word of God. Unless we have a foundation for truth, everyone will believe that his truth is truth, regardless of what is really true, if I can use the spin on the term as that. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And may I say to you, that's my challenge each and every day, is we stand on the truth, we speak the truth, we live the truth, tell the truth, and willing to defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators in stock. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the Jacksonville, Southside, Mandarin area. But wait, there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you have been watching and listening and tuned in to what's happening in the past 48 hours in particular. I'm looking at an article that says the Biden administration faces bipartisan criticism as regulators rush to stave off banking crises. In the article, it says the Biden administration is accelerating efforts to stave off an epic financial crisis as regulators seize control of a newly failed bank in New York while assuring the account holders that the shuttered Silicon Valley Bank in California, their money would be protected and made available soon. Within hours before markets opened in Asia, regulators of the U.S. Treasury Department, Federal Reserve Bank, and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation tried to calm the jitters worldwide Sunday while combating the factors that caused the first bank in Santa Clara, California, to fail. The statement came as officials disclosed that Signature Bank had failed and was seized by the regulators in New York with more than $110 billion in assets. The Signature Bank is one of the largest bank failures in U.S. history, behind the $175 billion Silicon Valley Bank that collapsed just last week. Hoping to thwart any further runs on the banks, programs for the Federal Deposit, Federal Reserve unveiled an emergency lending program for other troubled banks so that they could meet the needs of all of their depositors. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "In at your leisure, open your Bible, study it." We're talking about the signs of the times. We're watching those signs jump off the pages. We're watching earthquakes and major catastrophic events of earthquakes, tornadoes. We're watching fires and floods across the nations and around the world. And we're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, the fuel failure, the famine in the realm of food and in finances. Now, listen very carefully. I'm not trying to frighten anyone, but when you look at the Bible in Revelation, the 18th chapter, it tells us that there's coming a day when the entire financial system on a global basis will at one fell swoop collapse around the globe. So we're watching the precursor to that take place. The question is, how should we respond? Ezekiel 33:10, Ezekiel said, "How should we then live? So based on what we're seeing, based on what we understand is happening, based on our understanding of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, how should we respond? What should we do? What should our mindset be? I'm looking at another article on the bank failure. Government steps in with the plan to protect all depositors at Silicon Valley Bank. Banking regulators announced an emergency measure on Sunday to fully protect depositors of the Silicon Valley Bank, a critical move in averting a panic over the bank's collapse. Today, this article says, we're taking decisive action to protect the U.S. economy by strengthening public confidence in the banking system. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, after consulting with the president and regulators, has authorized the plan that fully protects all depositors. Now, that's very critical to understand. FDIC insurance says that your deposits are protected up to $250,000. If that had not been, if they'd not done a fix or a gap in closing that gap, ladies and gentlemen, that meant that according to the Silicon Valley Bank, $89 billion worth of monies that were deposited in that bank by investors would have been lost. $89 billion. That's not a small sum. I can't even count that high. This article goes on to say depositors will have access to all of their money starting first thing Monday morning, March the 13th. No losses will be associated with the resolution of the Silicon Valley Bank, and it will not be borne by the taxpayers, according to the government statement. Shareholders and certain unsecured debtors and debt holders, listen to this, will not be protected. Senior management has to be removed. Any losses of the Deposit Insurance Fund to support uninsured depositors will be recovered by the special assessment on banks as required by law. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't have enough fines. They don't have enough money in the FDIC. There's not enough funds available unless we continue to print dollars like we've been doing in the past 3 years under the Biden administration, and it's simply printing more money. And ladies and gentlemen, with what they've just done over the weekend in the banking system, we have watched the socialization of the banking industry in America. That sets the stage for the federal government to fully introduce July and August of this year the Fed coin. And that Fed coin is electronic money. We've talked about it many times on this broadcast before. That is electronic money where the federal government can trace and track everything you buy, even down to a stick of bubble gum. They will know where you bought it, when you bought it, and who you supported in a political campaign. They'll know what you've given to charities, et cetera, and can at the press of a button cut your funding off. That goes back to the fulfillment of the prophetic text in the signs of the times in Revelation 13, where the Antichrist will step on the scene. He will rule with an iron fist. You cannot buy, sell, trade, or travel unless you have the mark, the ID, from the leader of the world in that day. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching the players being put in place. We're watching the veil, watching through the sheer curtains on the gigantic stage called the world as to what God is doing. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to what the scripture says in Proverbs 29:2. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We're in a state of mourning in America today. If you think anything else, you're simply not understanding what is happening. You're not watching what the scripture says. You're not understanding what the Bible tells us is on the horizon. I'm going to look at one other article briefly, and then we will introduce our guest for today, and we'll talk about how we can be involved, how Christians, conservatives, and patriots can become involved. We've talked about it before, and we're in an election cycle in Jacksonville. We've talked about it. In fact, the voting is taking place now. The last day for voting will take place next Tuesday, not tomorrow, but next Tuesday. We need to vet the candidates. We need to know who we're voting for, not just walk into the booth blindly and say A, B, C, D, and pick one and vote for that candidate. We need to know where they stand, what they're doing, and we need to vote according to the Word of God and not just based on whimsical wishes and thoughts in relationship to it. This article says, financial crisis averted. Feds tell depositors at failed bank, you'll get all of your money. This is dated today, ladies and gentlemen. After the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and then Signature Bank in New York, which invested in, listen, the bank that folded in New York had heavily invested in cryptocurrencies. Let me pause for a moment. The federal government's been for the past year trying to cripple and totally eviscerate cryptocurrency. They are doing that to set the place and make the table available so the Fed coin, which is a cryptocurrency of sort, to set that in place so that every dollar that you have, if you've got $10 of green bills in a shoebox under your bed, it will become worthless by the end of this year. It will not have one dime's value because everything will have to be turned in, converted to electronic currency, and this sets the stage with the failure of the banks where the federal government can say, we've got to protect you. You know, Ronald Reagan said, the eight most dangerous words in the English language is somebody to knock on your door and say, we're from the government, we're to help you. That is simply what we see taking place today. Further, this article says the Treasury Department and banking regulators are now promising depositors they will have access to all of their funds when the branches open on Monday morning. The feds took action after damage from the second biggest bank failure in U.S. history began to create a panic and ripple effect around the world. Quote, I think that without this, there could have been some serious runs on other banks, said William Cohen, founder partner of the news website PUC, because there would have been a loss of confidence throughout the whole monetary system around the world. I just made a marginal note on this article. The bank bailout is what it is. They said it's not a bailout. The bank bailout is what it is, and it happens to be the socialization of our banking industry. We already have social medicine. We already have the socialistic educational system. We have the social approach now with the banking, total socializing the banking industry. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, as Amos said in Amos chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, but I can tell you this. Within the next 12 months, we'll have the banking industry boil down to about 10, maybe 15 major banks in America that will control the entire banking industry. And the federal government's already determined under the Biden and Obama administration that the larger banks are too large to fail. And therefore, it will be fully controlled by the federal system. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is this, that we need to be involved. Over the years, in the past several years, we've had different organizations that have come up. We've had organizational clubs. We've had things like today, the Trump clubs, et cetera. So nothing wrong with those, but I'm simply talking about the fact that we've had political activist groups for several years inviting people to become involved, to make a difference. Back just a few years ago, we had the Tea Parties. In fact, across America, we had major Tea Party movement. You hear very little from them today. There's very little influence coming out of that group today. So we need to have groups and organizational structures so that there can be involvement of the people, and we, the people, would have a decision-making process of those that go into office and what's happening from the local, state, and national government. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight to have with us today Kathleen Murray. Kathleen is here, and she represents an organization that I believe we need to understand what is taking place and what is happening in our local area and in the state of Florida. It is the Christian County Citizens Defending Freedom, called CCDF. I fail to recall that, Kathleen, but thank you so much for being with us today. I want you to take a few moments, introduce yourself to our listeners, briefly tell our listeners something about the organization and the origin of CCDF and the intended purpose of it.
Okay. Well, thank you again for having me, Doctor. It's a real pleasure to be able to educate your listeners.
Wonderful.
And my name is Kathleen Murray, as you said, and I'm the executive director for CCDF Duval, or County Citizens Defending Freedom. In my first life, I was a native Floridian who went off to the Naval Academy and spent 20 years in the Navy serving my country. And thanks be to God, I'm back in the Freedom State.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't my intent in my long-range plan to do what I'm doing now. I thought I'd do what a lot of retirees do in Florida. But instead, of course, the election of 2020 came, and that changed everything for all of us, didn't it?
So, what do you think, by the way, I must ask this.
Sure.
What happened in 2020?
What didn't happen in 2020? Oh my goodness, between COVID and then the fraudulent election, it turned our country upside down. But the good news is it also exposed the evil that, frankly, this is an evil and a battle that has been going on for a long time.
Right.
It didn't start in 2020, as you and your listeners probably know. It just woke up a lot of Americans and awakened us to the truth that this is a battle between good and evil.
Right.
And frankly, we're all being called to play,
Amen.
To take a role. I thought I was going to hang up my military service, but instead I'm putting on the armor of God.
Amen. That's good.
And here we are defending our country in a different way. And it doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, or you know, you just have to be a believer and get in that fight, because at some point we're all going to be held accountable for what did we do.
Absolutely. And Kathleen, when you make that statement, I'm reminded of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 10, 11, 12, and following. The Apostle Paul's talking about putting on the whole armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13, then he says, and having done all, stand. And that word stand indicates that we dig in our heels. We don't run. We don't hide. We don't go to sleep. We don't bow. We don't bend. We just stand and do the battle that I believe God wants us to do. And I'm thankful for you and for the organization and what you're doing. Share a little further about the organizational structure and what is the intended purpose.
All right. So if I can give you a little background first.
Yes.
In December of 2020, our founder, Steve Maxwell, was invited to Mar-a-Lago, along with a number of successful businessmen. And he was expected to hear about that, okay, there was a plan to actually overturn the fraudulent election. But instead, in this group of assembled business people and Republican leadership, they were told, hey, this stuff has been going on forever. Ted Cruz told them, look, you know, why are you even surprised? We know this stuff has been going on for a long time. And so Steve and his business partner, they sat down with Rand Paul for an hour and a half in a private meeting. And Rand Paul said, hey, there is absolutely nothing you can do about this election. This stuff has been going on for years. And the reason you can't do anything about it is because there's only 5 U.S. senators who are not compromised and only 1 Supreme Court justice. He didn't reveal the name of those senators, but the Supreme Court justice, as you all might guess, was Clarence Thomas, the only one not compromised. So he said, there really isn't anything you can do on the national level. So Steve was, you know, as you can imagine, pretty concerned about this and upset. And he's like, well, if there's nothing we can do on the national level, then certainly there's something we can do on the local level. And it was his belief that that's where all these problems started to begin with.
Right.
We didn't just go to one fraudulent national election. This kind of election steal probably started at local levels a long time ago. So he went back to Polk County, which is where most of his businesses are located, and he put in place a team of some pretty high-level analysts, and they identified counties in both Texas and Florida that had the most dark money, as well as the most what they saw as election fraud. And they said, hey, we're going to get to work. And because if Florida and Texas go in the next election, that is 2024, it's all over. And so this is where we're going to put our stakes in the ground and we're going to go to battle. And unfortunately, Duval County was identified as one of those counties with the most fraud and dark money.
And yet in our county, and this, I'm not trying to throw Mike Hogan under the bus, the supervisor of elections in our county. But Mike says that we don't have fraud in Duval County. He says we got the best system in the state of Florida, that it is basically error-proof, et cetera. And I'm not saying that you need to respond to that, but I'm just simply speaking aloud that I find it antithetical to what is real to say that we have no flaws and no failures in our system in Duval County, when in fact I believe it's the opposite of that. I believe I could go back for 20, 25, 30 years of the election campaigns that I've seen, that I've been involved in, that I'm personally aware of, and we've had some failures in that area. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question and comment, please.
We didn't have to sign our ballot.
That's right.
Hello? Kenneth, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead with your question and comment. Yes, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, it is. I mean, God is in control, but it is sad the way our system is going down, and I don't understand how this man going to try to bail out California and New York.
Well, Kenneth, I've got some news for you. He's not going to try to just bail out California and New York. The present president and the spokespeople behind the scene that's writing his speeches and that's handling the strings, because he's just the puppet, they're going to bail out. And I think that we're watching, in fact, Tucker Carlson made the statement just Friday or Saturday. I've forgotten what day it was. Tucker made the statement that we're watching bank failure that will compare it to 1929 crash of the financial system. I pray that he's wrong. I don't rejoice in that potentiality. But I think we're watching the handwriting on the wall and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy telling us that that day will come. But they're going to use this. Watch me. Listen to me. They're going to use this as their verbal rationale and reason to the public as to why they need to institute the Fed coin, the Fed currency, to take away all greenbacks, to take away all currency. The thing that I'm also concerned about, Kenneth, is the fact that when the failure of the banks took place in 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33, do you realize then, and most people are not aware of it, they outlawed the private ownership of gold and silver, particularly gold, that you could not hold gold as an investment. And I fear that if we continue to watch the erosion of the financial system in America, that those puppets in the White House will do the same thing, which will make the federal government in total control of every penny that you spend, every dime that you have in your pocket, and whatever you're going to do. So, Kenneth, that's where we're headed. And it shouldn't frighten us. We understand what the Bible says. But it should motivate us to be involved, should motivate us to pray, to become involved, to vet the candidates. And as Kathleen is talking about today, be involved on the local level to make sure that those that we place in office are those that have that we can have confidence in. It goes back to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. God's election guide must be able men, men of truth, men that hate covetousness. And I could go on. That spells out the type of people that we need to put in office. And so it is my prayer today, Kenneth, that our listeners, including yourself, will understand the need for us to become motivated and involved before it's too late in our county and our nation and across our states today. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Keep praying, keep looking up. The Bible says our redemption draweth nigh. Kathleen, I'm thankful again that you're here. And did you finish your statement about our the origins and the purpose for CCDF?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. We've got about a minute and a half before the top of the hour news break. How did you get involved?
How did I get involved? Well, we moved to Florida with the youngest of our four children, and he's at Bishop Kenny in the NJROTC program. And he was coming home from school at night, and my husband and I, who are former ship drivers for the Navy, were looking at him over the dinner table saying, "So what'd you learn in ROTC today?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "All Commander Morrill does is talk about the founding documents and the Constitution." And we were like, "What?" We thought he was going to talk about ships and aircraft. Mm-hmm. So I sent an email to the commander thanking him, and he invited me to a local group that he hosts called a Liberty Chat. And he said, "Well, if you like that, why don't you join me at my neighborhood clubhouse, a group of citizens. We study those founding documents."
Amen.
And
may his tribe increase.
That's right. And he grew it from a group of five, to include him and his son and three neighbors, to about 100 when I attended my first meeting, and the guest speaker was Steve Maxwell.
How about that?
It was so great.
The rest of it's history.
Exactly.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're talking with Kathleen Murray. She heads up the local division of CCDF in Duval County. We're going to be talking about that further right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.